The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
A tanned and happy John Cadell is back with Larissa Nolan to do our music
anyway.
Spot this week.
All tan, all man, and a little bit Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Did you miss me, Matt?
Let's talk about music and let's talk about whatever. How you two clips from a cassette recording of a show in 1979 have turned up. Larissa Nolan, what's happened here?
Yeah, so back in 1979, before you two were anywhere near, they're only right at the beginning of their career, I think.
That was the year they had their first release, wasn't it?
I thought it was 1980.
Boy was 1980, but didn't they do a single on CBS Ireland?
John, you know something, Matt? You are undoubtedly right.
No, I'm not undoubtedly right. I'm just wondering.
I'd say you probably are right with the factual mind that you have. What I mean is, I suppose, is that they were at a point where they were just kind of about to make it big, and there was that brilliant marketplace. What's it called again?
The Dandelion Market. Yeah.
So they played a couple of afternoon gigs in the Dandelion Market, and they were apparently recorded in totality by a musician called Pete McCluskey, who is in a band called the Strougers. I'd never heard of them before, but so he made these recordings, but I think only some of them had come to light until now, which we have two more interestingly named ones. Concentration Camps, isn't it?
Cramp.
Concentration Cramp, yeah, I knew something like that. And then another one, I think, called Hand. Am I wrong?
In Your Hand.
In Your Hand. Oh, I see. I've got all this all mixed up. Sorry about this. But anyway, they're wonderful for you two fans who obviously want more and more.
Well, actually, let's hear a short clip from Concentration Cramp.
You two have apparently since been in touch looking to hear a copy of the cassette to see how they sounded. Save you the time, lads. Not great.
I know. It's a very different sound as well, isn't it?
Well, in that it's barely there.
Yeah. But I still don't quite understand how these ones were kept back and now they have just suddenly emerged now. I mean, I don't quite get the connection.
Well, Pete McCluskey gave the tape in its entirety to one of the biggest U2 fans in the world, who runs, I think, the @U2 website. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
So they found it on that.
Yeah, and they're thinking of donating it to the new upcoming U2 museum on Hanover Quay.
Well, what I liked about it most was that it was in the Dandelion Market, which just seems to me to be something I wish that I'd experienced that.
Well, I mean, U2 were a band 3 years at this stage.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't their infancy,
I was listening to that and I had Communications Breakdown by Zeppelin in my head for whatever reason. Let's hear the other one clip that I have, In Your Hand.
I doubt it does them justice. I mean, half the thing about early U2 was just looking at them. And, you know, you can't really divorce the sound from the visuals when it comes to early U2.
So. Hang on, they're very much the punk influence you can hear there,
absolutely.
Yeah, the American punk influence. It kind of sounds like Personality Crisis, that song.
Yeah, it's very sort of Ramones-esque, who, of course, they've often doffed their collective beanie hats too.
So you can see the sound kind of emerging. I suppose that's what the the interesting bit is, that you can see the emergence of their own sound, because they do have their own sound, whether you like that sound or not.
Yeah, and it's not a million miles away from what ended up on the Boy album, which is still an incredible album. But, you know, to say that it's them in their infancy, I'll make the point again, it's not. They were 3 years a band by 1979.
But hold on, were they also, was their best music back in the 80s?
No. What about Octane Baby and Zooropa?
Larissa?
I don't know. I mean, I think that maybe there's two totally kind of, they moved from one sound then into another, and both of them are possibly equally as good, I would say.
I would have to say, or even if not pushed, I'll just offer it anyway. Octane Baby is their best album.
Yeah, I think I like, I'm just trying to remember the title of it now, the one with Desire on it.
That's Rattle and Hum.
That's the one that I like. Yeah, so I probably would veer more towards, like, Desire is my favourite U2 song, so therefore I would be placed in the 80s.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Well, let's bring ourselves, because we're going to be talking about old fogies.
What?
We are going to be talking about old fogies quite a bit now. There's a lot of them. I don't think
that's not the level of respect you should be paying to the likes of Bob Dylan, Neil Young, and Stevie Wonder, Matt.
And we'll get to the old fogies later. So let's look forward to something else playing this weekend. Somebody much, much younger and contemporary, Villagers. Let's hear new track, Summer Song. Brass section.
Yeah,
on that
I like
too.
That. I like that a lot. I like most things Conor O'Brien does.
So do I, but I'm not mad about this, I'll be honest. It's very kind of, it takes a lot from Divine Comedy, Neil Hannon's sort of songbook, really, doesn't it?
That,
nowhere
absolutely.
Near as arch, though.
As arch or arty?
Yeah. Arch.
Oh, arch. Okay. Yeah. I can imagine him. Look, he's probably just in a, I believe this is just released. I think it's just a single release, isn't it? It's not from any.
Well, as of now, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, Conor is probably in his room tinkering around with all his stuff and he came up with this. But I saw the video for it. I think it was, I was put off by, it's one of those videos with the lyrics underneath, which really annoy me. It's just this thing that everybody's doing at the moment. And it's kind of, it's very sort of dumbing down, I think, of music and of videos. But, you know, I'm a huge Villagers fan. As everyone knows,
play the Ivy Gardens this Friday,
and you'll want to listen to Fergal Darcy later in the week because Conor will be in.
Yeah, but he's fantastic. He's a genius. I think this isn't probably the best thing he's ever done, but it's maybe nice for the summer.
Okay, when's that Stevie Wonder gig on?
Tonight. Now, I suggested to your production team, Matt, that we would cover Stevie Wonder tonight, and one of your producers in particular said, "Not after the last time." And I said, "Remind me." They said, Matt was waxing lyrical about the fact that Stevie Wonder doesn't have any good songs. Now, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Matt, in that I said to your producer that you were probably trolling me. You don't honestly believe that Stevie Wonder doesn't have, and I quote, any good songs, do you?
Do we have one to play?
Well, this one I picked for you, in case you think he doesn't have. You know the way you love Trump? Well, this song was written about Richard Nixon when he was president, but it has never been more prescient. It's called He's Mr. Know-It-All.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that freak you out, like, how relatable that is today?
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, even just, I think this song is brilliant as well, because you know the way when you see these top 10 best ever Stevie Wonder songs, that's often at the top of it.
Is
so
it?
It's, yeah, it often is, or up in the top three. And I think it's great that loads of people have respected and appreciated how brilliant it is. Lovely melody, great message.
The Coop isn't one of them.
But really politically
I
insightful.
I've never heard that song before.
Did you not?
But here's the thing. That's the thing about Stevie, you see. He sometimes has, I would say, kind of intimidatingly large collection. So his album's got billions of albums, billions of
hits.
I
think I offered to make Matt a mixtape Stevie Wonder. Well, I'm offering.
Well, it's one thing
now.
Offering, it's another thing actually doing.
Right, well, I will do it. I will
there
do
you
it.
Go. I think just give him Songs in the Key of Life
anyway,
and then he'll be hooked.
He's in the Three Arena tonight.
Are you gone?
No, unfortunately, I'm not.
I kind of still, I'm holding out that I might get there. I'm going to keep trying. I didn't plan it though, which was really, really, you know, remiss of me, I have to say.
The listener says, saw him in Hyde Park Sunday night.
Yeah.
Only fair.
What?
Olivia in Galway says, I have tickets for Neil Young and Bob Dylan, but I can't go. Will you ask your panel, will I miss out? I've heard very mixed reviews about both artists.
Can I take this one?
Go for it. I love both of them, but John, feel free, please.
Right. Neil Young will turn up and do whatever he wants on any given night. Now, chances are you will hear a few hits and you'll hear them more or less.
He's playing a lot apparently from Rust Never Sleeps.
Okay.
40 years
old. So you'll probably hear them as more or less as they were recorded, with extended jams if Crazy Horse are with them, which thankfully on this tour they're not.
Because those are the most self-indulgent lengthy jams.
Yeah, yeah. So
you can go off, order a pint, go to the toilet, come back and they're still not finished.
That's something like that.
That can be convenient at times though.
The Bobster is a completely different story. If all you own is Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits, Volume 1, 2 or 3, do not go and expect to hear those songs, first of all. And second of all, if he does play any of them, I'll be buggered if you'll be able to know what they are within at least two verses. Because Bob reinvents his songs all the time, always messing with time signatures, tempos. The vocals.
I hate when
his
people
voice,
do that.
His voice is shot to bits.
Do you like that though? Because I hate when artists do that.
I do and I don't. I don't like the fact that whenever I've seen Bob, like when I hear like a Rolling Stone, I want to hear that anthemic chorus where you literally pump your fist in the air and he's going, how do you feel? And he's spitting it out. But when you see him live, he's like going up and down like a roller coaster on the vocals and the music is mellow.
Okay, well, actually, we have a little bit. Apparently, one of the songs that Bob Dylan has been playing on his current tour is Simple Twist of Fate.
They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well, and stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night hit him like a freight train.
That's Bob Dylan. And let's hear a little bit from Neil Young, who, of course, is on stage as well, separate times, in Nolan Park and Kilkenny on Sunday. Apparently, as I said, he's playing a lot from Rust Never Sleeps. This is one he played in Munich at the weekend, Powderfinger.
Look out, mama, there's a white boat coming up the river with a big red beacon and a flag and a man on the rail. I think you better call John, 'cause it don't look like they're here to deliver the mail, and it's less than a mile away. I hope they didn't want to say it's got numbers on the side and a gun and it's taking me away.
I'm going to have to talk over that because we're running out of time. Listener says, Inversions, genius Stevie album, Mike and Ennis.
Inner Visions. We're all delighted to correct you there.
Zach and Santry, Do I Do by Stevie, brilliant bass playing,
brilliant
rhythm and melody. And another one, actually, that's all I have on Stevie at the moment. Oh, yeah, another one says, Good Man John Cadell, Shame on You, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, picks of the week, quickly. We're out of time now. John, what are you going for?
The new fan club album, it was just released last Friday, and they're from Ireland. They're a great band. They're very much in thrall to grunge, and this is from the new album.
This is from Vulture Culture, Hesitations.
So they're not like reinventing that. The wheel, but, you know, it's good.
Yes, pure Nirvana. Okay, what's your pick of the week?
Well, someone mentioned Do I Do there by Stevie, which is like Stevie is sampled a lot by the G-Funk West Coast hip-hop people. And I'm picking one of the legends of West Coast hip-hop, who is Snoop Doggy Dogg. He has a song. Oh, we got the song. He's got a song called I Want to Thank Me, which I just want to explain a bit of the background, which is what he said. He thanked himself when he got his Hollywood star fame. And it's kind of actually it's what I feel about myself, this song.
Eagle side homie coming up. I was young and I didn't give a fuck. Long Beach nigga, a fiend for the bucks. Lean in my chucks, banger on tuck. Yeah, long time coming, had to earn my G. Gold digging hoes, had to learn my feet. I beat a couple cases, I'm H.O.T. I'm Snoop Dogg to the world, gotta thank old me. We celebrate, we hating on the real one. All the L's that I took, man, I still won. Big bank rolls coming at you. West Coast.
Well, then, you just managed again not to give the language warning and that. Thank you very much, Larissa Nolan.
Sorry
and John
that.
Cadell from Vidus again this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.